We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. If the only thing he was known for was the TV show Mad About You, Paul Reiser could still hold his head up high. That 90s hit, recently rebooted as a sequel starring the same cast, put the comedian, actor, and writer firmly in the cultural spotlight. But as much as Reiser could have rested on those laurels, he didn't. He's returned to stand-up and in that role comes to Milwaukee to perform on Saturday the 27th. We reached him at his home in L.A. to find out more. Paul Reiser, it is such an honor to have you on the show. Thanks so much for talking with us very early in the morning your time.
It is an honor to be up and early. I'm up anyway. I'm part farmer, you know.
Are you?
No.
Was that a Midtown Manhattan farmer thing?
Well, it can, you know. Relatively, if we were a farming community, I would have been in what would have been the wheat belt of lower Manhattan.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. So early to rise, early to bed, all of those things.
Yes. You know, once you have kids, the whole, I think the part of your body that lets you sleep late is dead. You're more tired, but you're up early anyway. So there you go.
How does that work with being a comedian? Because, you know, coming to do shows like what you're going to do here in Milwaukee, you got to be up late.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really smart question. When I started back, because I had taken a long spell, almost like 15, 20 years, when I wasn't out performing. I was Mad About You, and then I was doing other stuff, and then I was just kind of being at home. When I went out, the first thing that I realized was I got to shift my whole life. Because, like, yeah, you know, I remember the first time I called the comedy club. I said, hey, I'm going to come down and try out some material. They said, yeah, come on down anytime. The show starts at 10. And I went, at night? Oh, no. That's out of the question. 10 o'clock at night is... I'm well into pajamas there.
Yeah, exactly. Into the comfy clothes. And, yeah, there's a remote in my hand at that point.
Yeah, it does take a bit of a shift. But what I also have found, and the big, big plus of it, is I was instantly reminded how much I love doing stand-up, being on stage, even more so than when I was doing it years ago. You know, it's just so uncomplicated. Not easy, but uncomplicated in that you just think of funny things, you get them as clear as you can, and then you tell people, and they laugh, and then you all drive home. You know, there's no studio, there's no middleman, there's no development, there's no raising of funds. You just tell people what you think is funny. And I find that so refreshing.
Has it changed, though, since when you first started doing it? I mean, you were doing stand-up very early in your career, and as you said, you took a break doing a lot of other things.
Yeah.
It sounds like the contact with the audience hasn't changed, but is comedy different now?
No. I mean, I'm sure that there are styles and content that might not have been so out there years ago. But so, yes, the political landscape has changed, the social landscape has changed, but the art of doing stand-up is pleasantly one of the few things that can't change. It's like, it's so low-tech, you know what I mean? There's no app for it. There's no way to turbocharge it. It's just elbow grease and human effort, you know, and it's the human contact and the simplicity of it that's so fun. You know, I think it's easier. It's more rewarding, I'm finding now. People come to the show, they're not coming by accident. They come because, oh, we liked Mad About You, or we liked his books, or we've seen him in something. So we've all kind of grown together, so it really does feel like getting together with old friends, even though we've never met. You know, the people who come, if they've watched Mad About You, if they've read my books, we know each other. And they're coming because they go, yeah, man, we're going through the same thing you are. And it resonates. So it's really easy to hit the ground running. And it's just been great fun.
You started out as a musician before you got into comedy. And I have to think that the ability to play music well ties so much into being able to be a good comedian on stage. Just the sense of timing.
You know, I'm not sure that really is, for me, is true. I was a musician by, you know, that was my major in college, but I was never a professional musician. But I think, you know what, it's actually almost the opposite. I think over the last many years, learning to write scripts and being disciplined has made me a better writer as a comic. I know how to edit better, and I can just get to the good stuff, or I know how to elaborate more efficiently when I want. So I feel I'm a better writer. And recently, in the last year or two, I've gone back to playing piano. You know, when I was a kid, I studied classical piano, and I never really did anything with it. And only recently I've gotten back into it, and I found that because of what I learned as a writer, as a comic, I'm now able to apply it to music. And just in terms of discipline, well, here's a big piece that I don't know how to play. All right, let me break it down into scenes. Let me break it down. Let's learn these four bars and then really master those and then move on. And it's, you know, maybe something you can't do at 20, but you can do in your 60s better for some reason. A lot of other things I can't do as well, but that I can.
Yeah, it's that, you know, having to go to bed early and not having the same stamina one once had.
Maybe. Yeah. But it's also, I don't know. I think I actually started talking about this in my act. You know, one of the nice things, because there's certainly some downsides, but one of the nice things about getting older is you know yourself a little better and you cut out the excess a little more comfortably. You go, you know, I'm not going to waste my time with that. I don't want to do that, and I'm going to put more time into the things I do like, whatever they are, you know, with your family, your kids, your hobbies, your interests. So, yeah, you spend time with the things that you enjoy a little bit more.
I'm just behind you. We're the same age, essentially.
I thought I saw somebody. That
yeah,
was you.
Exactly. That was me.
Good.
I'm really not a stalker, really. but I agree with you. There's that
right.
sense of, I don't know if it's a sense of you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel more clearly than you did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, I just don't have time.
Yeah, there is that. But it's also, you worry, and I think it's also having kids, you start to get your priorities get focused. And so you go, boy, that's really not important to worry about. Gee, if I don't go to that thing, somebody's going to be angry. It's like, I don't care. We'll live. None of it's that important, you know? It's a little bit of not caring. You know, I do this line in my act. I said, you know, as you get older, you get more comfortable. People often call it wisdom. But the truth is, I don't think that we've learned anything new. I just think we stop caring that we haven't learned anything new. You just go, yeah, I think this is it. I think we're here.
I'm happy.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get better, so enjoy me.
Exactly. I have this opportunity to talk to you, and I have to mention Diner because it was one of my favorite films.
Really?
Still is one of my favorite films.
Oh, nice.
Love watching it. Everybody in it, you know, has gone on to do different things.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in New Hampshire.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's an East Coast film.
It sort of is, but it is. I'm always surprised because at the time it wasn't really a hit. I mean, it did very well, and it was because it was a very inexpensive movie, and it was so artful, but it was not, in my eyes, a hit. So I'm always amazed that was tickled when I hear from, and also from when I hear from men, because it always struck me as it's a guy's movie. But I think women loved being in the guy's locker room for an hour and a half and hearing, oh, that's what guys are like. I don't know, was that what the appeal was to you?
I think it was. Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, that's what they talk about when we're not sitting there.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's probably true the other way, too. It's like when you hear women talking, we do talk differently
when
we're amongst our cohort, I guess maybe is the right word. But yeah, where you feel like you can let your guard down.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that was, looking back, I was wildly fortunate that was my first job. It wasn't even my first movie. And I got cast in Diner by accident, literally, because I walked into the casting office by accident. And that launched really everything. And to start, you know, sort of spoiled, and to start my career with, you know, Barry Levinson, but I was his first movie too, so it wasn't like he was known, but to be with that group of people who all were so talented and such an artful movie with such legs, you know, it is still watched. It was 30, almost 40 years ago. Wow.
I know. Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. But anyway, thank you for being part of that, even though it was by mistake.
Yes.
What a fortuitous mistake.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I think life is that. It's a series of fortuitous mistakes.
Well, that's, you know, that's another thing you kind of learn. You certainly make plans and you're trying to do what you aim to do and cut out the things you don't want to do. But very often, you know, somebody was recently said, wow, you've been doing all these great projects and Stranger Things, and you did Kominsky Method, but you have, wow, it's really been this great, really artfully, carefully planned thing. And went, are you kidding? I didn't have any of these thoughts. They just all happened for various reasons. And I've never had a plan, you know, and you can make a plan, but it usually isn't what happens.
So what would you tell your younger self now?
Okay, first of all, lose that sweater. That's a horrible sweater. Well, I would say that. I don't know. What would I tell my younger self? I think my younger self did okay. I'm kind of amazed. I look back and went, how did I know? You know, I was thinking, I've been with my lovely wife. We've been together almost like 37 years. And I go, well, and we were actually just talking about this weekend. It's like, how was I accidentally smart? Like, or you were smart, or we were both smart. I don't know. That stumbled. And certainly people make mistakes, and I've made mistakes too. But I don't know. I think my younger self did okay. I think I'd probably say, just relax. It's going to all work out. But who knows? Maybe it only worked out because I worried. I don't know.
I was going to say, because that is certainly your persona, at least some of the personas that we have
being
seen.
Worried.
Being worried, yes,
yeah, well,
and concerned.
I think it's sort of the comic's tool to find the flaws, you know. Nobody ever did a joke about, boy, my wife is such a great cook. You know what I mean? You never talk about what's going well. So by definition, what comes out and what you deal with is the friction, you know, and you deal with the problems. But it doesn't presume that it's actually the way your life is.
Are there comics that you watch now that you think are doing good work and interesting work and taking it new places?
I don't watch that many new comics, but I kind of marvel at, you know, guys who are so prolific and have taken it to a level. I just worked with Kevin Hart. I did a part in his new movie, and just looking at some of his stuff and how the scale of his comedy and how easily, you know, and I know it's never easy, but how effortless he makes it look and how engaging he is, and how he found his thing, you know, and again, through, I mean, it's really only, we were talking about it and he said it was only 10 years from when he was, you know, first went up in a club to being really, really big. And then now taking it even bigger and playing, you know, arenas consistently. So, but that happened only because of a lot of skill and a lot of talent, but a lot of elbow grease. I mean, he just was out there all the time and working on it. So, you know, he's great. And Jerry Seinfeld, who I know for years, he's just been this sort of slow and steady. He was always good, and he was always diligent and disciplined. And he's doing really the same thing. Not the same material, but the same thing that he's been doing for years. And it's, again, on the surface, you're watching and go, well, that looks simple. He's just saying funny things. It's like, yeah, but he's doing it really well for a long time.
From an audience perspective, I have to say the thing I've noticed changing is that there are a lot more women doing it, and there are a lot more people of color doing it.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, I'm always jolted. I feel like sometimes I'll go into a club or a set and like, oh, I'm the old guy now. I'm like Pop's comedy. And people go, oh, I watched you when I was a kid. My parents, I go, geez, okay, stop. My parents made me watch you. You know, and I sometimes I go, wow, you know, see women just talking so openly and funnily about some really intimate stuff. And I go, wow, okay, good for you. I couldn't have done that. I can't do that. So in that way, there's a sensibility, you know, and people are for good and for bad, but there's a lot more that's acceptable, and it should be. There's a depth that's more easily accessed. Boy, I use bigger words when I talk to NPR. You should have heard me earlier. I talked to a morning shock jock. I don't know. It's not this way.
Well, I'm glad, actually.
Yes.
I'm glad that you have the big words to
use
for
it.
Us.
I, yeah, I don't know who to tell them to.
Well, see, now you know who to call. You know
Absolutely.
Who to call whenever you need to use those big
words.
We'll do. Yeah, more than two syllables. We're your people to talk
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
The other thing I think has changed in sort of the comedic landscape is this idea that we don't have a universal thing that we all think is funny. I remember growing, well, you and I, like I said, the same generation, you know, in the 60s and into the 70s, there was like what we thought of, which was probably basically white America. You know, we all thought it was funny. It was kind of like this through line of things. We all got the reference points. We all got that. There's a lot of stuff out there now that I don't get those reference points.
Yes. I think that's part of being older. I think the turnaround is quicker. I was talking to somebody the other day who was like 26, and she was saying, like, well, that's a different, there's another generation behind me that like 22. I go, really? It's broken down? You know, that precisely, you know, and I don't remember what the name was, like, well, there's Gen X and there's Gen Millennial, because I'm really more of a Millennial, but I'm not a Gen X. I go, but you're not 60, right? So anything under 60, in my mind, it's all there. But, yeah, there are different references and you know, in subtle ways. I remember also the way people consume entertainment. I remember when my son was, and this is 10 years ago even, and I remember saying to my, he had done something he shouldn't have or whatever, and I said, you know, you're not, no TV this week. And he goes, I don't watch TV. I went, on your phone, whatever it is you're watching, any square, any rectangle with pictures, we're gonna stop. But like the word television wasn't even in his vernacular. I went, wow, he's in a very different world. You know, I remember I said to him, I said, oh, I have a big meeting at ABC. He went, what is that? He knew Netflix, he knew Hulu, he knew everything on YouTube, but like he'd never heard of a network. I went, wow, okay.
Yeah,
and that's just the you know, the showbiz end of it. But there's constantly new stuff, and the minute you learn, if you hear about a word, by the time I hear about a word, it's like, well, that's over. That's no longer a cool word. It's changed.
I was going to say that was last week.
Yes, yeah. That's so last week.
Well, you are not last week.
No, I have next week.
You're next week.
I'm next week. And I'm going to be there. And I don't know that I've ever performed in Milwaukee. I'm trying to remember. A lot of times recently I've said that, oh, I've never performed in Louisville before. And what a nice treat. And people go, well, turn around. There's a picture of me in Louisville 30 years ago. Okay, I forgot. So it's very possible I was, but I don't think so.
Well, even if you were, it's just great to have you back.
I'm looking forward, and I haven't been, but I've heard the Pabst Theater is a beautiful theater, a beautiful venue.
It's fantastic. And it truly is. I've talked to so many musicians and other folks who've performed there who have said it's one of the best acoustics, and it's just beautiful. It's a wonderful place to perform.
Well, I will put it on your shoulders to make sure that all of your listeners and all of their cousins come down, because the acoustics are better when it's packed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to see like an empty chair. I'm like Elvis. Elvis had this thing that he wouldn't go on if there was an empty seat. So whenever, this is a story I've read, that if there were any empty seats, they would actually get a drill and take the seats out. Rather, would you think it would be easier? Just get somebody to sit there. They would take out the seats. So I don't want to go through that, and I don't want to undo the beautiful Pabst Theater. So you bring the people, and I'll bring the jokes, and we'll have a great time.
We will have a great time. Can I go as far as second and third cousins?
You can. Okay. I encourage you.
Okay. Terrific.
All right.
Paul Reiser, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks so much for your time.
Comedian, actor, and writer Paul Reiser will perform his stand-up routine in Milwaukee next Saturday, July 27th, at the Pabst Theater. There is a link to more information at wuwm.com.